You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I am here with another episode of Currently Binging. I am super excited because I am discussing Daredevil Season 3. I did not realize how much I wanted this season until watching it. No lie, guys. So I told you guys a few episodes ago, I think it was like the fall TV preview episode, that I had created a TV schedule. So each month I print it out and it's literally on the wall right in front of me at my desk. So as I'm doing these episodes, I can see it. And I put on there that on October 19th, Daredevil was going to be released on Netflix. Saw it on the wall, saw it in my phone. It still slipped my mind until Saturday. Like, I remembered all the way up until Friday, and then it slipped my mind. And then on Saturday, I was out all day, and I was like, oh my gosh, Daredevil is on Netflix. I need to watch it. Couldn't watch it Saturday. On Sunday, half the day gone, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just remembered I need to watch Daredevil. So I did not start watching Daredevil until pretty much the evening. And I was like, okay, I'll just watch a few episodes today, and then I'll try to finish it tomorrow. You guys, I watched every episode. I was like, oh my gosh. Now, season one, I believe I did an episode on season one. And I really enjoyed Daredevil. Of all of the Netflix Marvel TV shows, Daredevil, which was the first to kind of launch this Netflix Marvel TV relationship, has always been my favorite. From like the fight choreo to the storyline, I just really enjoyed it. And it kind of like, to me, because on TV, I mean, you're talking about network TV now. And at the time, it was like only, we really only had the CW TV shows, and then it was kind of trying to branch out a little bit. But it's only so in-depth and gritty you can go on network TV. So when we got this on Netflix, and I mean, we're seeing everything, I was so excited. And then season two came along, and you guys know how I feel about the Hand storyline, because season two was pretty much about the Hand and Elektra. A lot of misses there. And then we carried the Hand storyline over to Defenders. And you guys, there's a episode about Defenders, so you can go check that out. And you guys know how I feel about that as well. So season two wasn't on par for me personally as season one, but season three, you guys, I don't know what to tell you, but I was like, oh my gosh, they just went back and just, it was like we could finally like breathe. I don't even know if that makes sense. We could let the story like breathe and develop a little bit because we weren't so much focused on setting up this Hand storyline and how all the stuff going on. That was just, it just seemed like it was bogging the story altogether down. So I was excited about this, and we're going to get into this because you guys know I have me some notes, because it would not be a discussion without notes. So let's get into these notes. But pause. Before we get into our notes, we do have some Marvel Netflix TV news. So sadly, I did discuss Iron Fist, but sadly, Iron Fist has been canceled, and also Luke Cage has been canceled. And Iron Fist, I wasn't really surprised that they canceled it just based off of what happened with season one. But you guys know, I discussed season two. I really very much enjoyed season two more than season one. So I was like, okay, this could most likely save you. But then it was canceled. And then they came around and just literally gut punched and stabbed us in the chest all at the same time and canceled Luke Cage, which was completely a shock to me because, I mean, Netflix doesn't release the like the numbers for streams or whatever, but it just seemed like Luke Cage was doing pretty good. So that was for sure a surprise, but we will still, they say, while the shows are canceled, we will still or could still see these characters in future episodes for the shows that haven't been canceled. So we're getting another season of Jessica Jones. Daredevil, we have no idea if we're getting another season of that. They said that Defenders was like a one-time thing, so I don't know what's happening. I have my speculations because you guys know that Disney has been talking about this streaming service that they're trying to do. So I would not be surprised if some of this is related to that. Also, a lot of it, at least for Luke Cage, it sounded like a lot of it was creative differences. And I think that Netflix, this is just me making assumptions, I think that Netflix is just at the point where they're like, you know what, we don't have to take this, or we're not going to do this. And they're just like, okay, you don't want to cooperate, then we're going to cancel you. And apparently for Luke Cage, they wanted it to be 10 episodes, but Jeff Loeb was like, no, we want 13 episodes. And you guys know how I feel about the length of a season. I think that you can do so much with a shorter amount of episodes. So that's the latest news on that. I will keep you guys posted as I hear it. I mean, I'm sure you guys are hearing it too, but of course I will discuss it if there is anything else that comes down the pipeline. Now let's get into Daredevil, because I am super excited about this. So we have Daredevil. Showrunner was Eric Olson, and stars Charlie Cox, Eldon Henson, and Deborah Ann Wall, and other people, of course. And from the trailers, I was like, okay, so it looked interesting. We know from Defenders that we're to assume, well, before we see like the end credit scene teaser, we're to assume that Matt died. But then we see that end credit scene where he wakes up, so we know he didn't really die. And so we have the events that follow his death. So we get another season of Luke Cage. We get another season of Jessica Jones. We get another scene of Iron Fist. And Iron Fist, a lot of his drive in Iron Fist was based on what Matt had told him as his dying words. So everyone thinks he's dead, but there are two people, one specifically, who do not believe that Matt is dead. And that is Foggy and Karen specifically. And as I'm watching this and we see Karen, she shows up in season one to Matt's apartment. And I'm like, okay, it's been, I believe they said it's been 5 or 6 months. That's the one thing I did not write down, but it's been about 5 to 6 months since Matt has disappeared. And so for this amount of time, they have been paying the rent and bills, like utilities, for this place. And Matt has not made one sound or peep or squat that he is even living, and they're still praying for it. And so I thought that was so interesting, just for a simple fact that like they had so much confidence, or Karen, that he did not die. And I feel like that just speaks to like the level of like friendship and the relationship that they each have, him with Karen and him with Foggy, in their own separate different ways. But I will say this season was all about Karen, and we're going to get into Karen because we got to see a little bit more about her backstory. So let's just start with Karen. So we have Karen, who we find out, because we keep hearing about this story about her brother, and she apparently killed her brother, and it's all this speculation. So we finally get pretty much an entire episode dedicated to what happened in Karen's past. And the title of that episode was entitled Karen. And we find out that Karen was pretty much on drugs. She was drinking a lot. She was trying to help support her father and her brother with their family business that was pretty much struggling, and their mom had passed away. And so she was being negatively influenced by this drug dealer. And so it all leads up to pretty much a fight that she has with her father. She goes, runs off, and her brother tries to go after her. He gets into a scuffle with the drug dealing boyfriend. So then he goes back to the drug dealer boyfriend's trailer, lights it on fire. Like, who said that was smart? Who said that was smart? That was probably not smart. And you probably should have known he was going to whoop your behind if he caught you. So then they lead into a scuffle, and Karen pretty much is already under the influence. She gets her brother to the car. They drive off. They end up getting into a car accident, and he dies in the car accident. So, I mean, yes, her brother died, but, and I know people deal with grief and things in their own way. I know she blames herself because she was under the influence when she was driving, but I wouldn't necessarily say she murdered her brother, because that's how they kept shaping it. And I was like, but she didn't really murder him. It was, unfortunately, an accident, and those were the consequences of the accident, and then that's what she had to live with. So I was glad that we did get to see where Karen came from and kind of how she is who she is today. And so we got a lot of Karen. We didn't really get as much Foggy. Well, we did get Foggy, but we didn't get a lot of backstory Foggy, because I believe last season we got some more of the backstory of Foggy as far as his relationship with Matt. But we did get to see some of Foggy's home life with his girlfriend Marcy, which I thought was interesting, just kind of seeing him in that different light. So we got Foggy from that angle or perspective, and then we got Karen more so of like a backstory. And the way they were going to her backstory, I was like, oh my gosh, is Karen going to die? Because halfway through the season, we turn to where Fisk is pretty much trying to kill her because he finds out that she killed his beloved friend, James Wesley, I believe is his name. So I was like, oh my gosh, is Karen actually really going to die? I kind of felt that way for a little bit. But yeah, so that's Karen. I want to get Karen out the way because I have so much other stuff that I really want to talk about. So let's talk about Matt's seasonal journey. Now, we find Matt, he's pretty much back where he grew up. He grew up pretty much in the church, being raised by nuns and Father Lantum. And because pretty much he thought that he was an orphan. So that's where he has himself taken when he's found in the aftermath of the building collapsing on him. Well, not really on him, because then he would have been dead, but he has him take him there. And we meet a nun. We meet nun or sister Maggie. And at first I'm like, oh, I like her. I mean, she's quick-witted. She doesn't take any crap from Matt. And you know, Matt's kind of like in his own kind of doomsday type of a world, because he blames himself pretty much for everything that's happened to his friends. So he wants to cut himself off from them. He wants to cut himself off from Matt because he feels like Matt is like Matthew Murdock, the human, is the person who people love and are friends with. And he thinks that by being him, then he is further bringing his friends into danger. So he wants to cut himself off from that. And he pretty much wants to be Daredevil, the devil of Hell's Kitchen or whatever. So Sister Maggie she's not having any of this, and she's kind of like in her own way, because Matt is talking all this stuff about, because a lot of Matt's story is about his struggle with being this daredevil person, but also being Matthew Murdock, he has like his religion, he's Catholic, all this other stuff. So he really much clings to that. And so he always has this like internal and external frustration, or what's the word, fight with himself about his morals, if what he's doing is right or wrong. We saw a lot in season one and season two when he's going to the church and he's talking to Father Lantum through the confessional. So like, that's not changed. But now we're at the point where Matt is pretty much I'm not my religion. I don't believe in that religion anymore, or those beliefs. Like, this is who I am. Leave me alone. But Sister Maggie's like, no. Like, she's in her own way trying to feed him, like, get him to come back and see the light and, you know, still believe in his beliefs. And for a split second, I am not lying, you guys, for a split second, because it was earlier on, I don't remember which episode it was. It was an earlier episode when he gets moved, because at first he's staying like upstairs where like all the kids are still are. And then she's like, okay, you can't stay here. So he ends up going into the basement. And it was one of those episodes. And for a split second, I kid you not, I'm not lying. For a split second, in my head, this is literally the conversation I had in my head while watching it. Because I was like, okay, his father died, but where's his mother? Have they ever said anything about his mother? This is the dialogue that's happening in my head. Like, we've never heard anything about his mother. Where's his mother? I was like, I feel like they could try to make her his mother, but I don't think they would do that. That's literally what I said in my head. And then as we got further along to the episode where it was episode 8, Upstairs, Downstairs, when Matt overhears Sister Maggie praying, and then he finds out that she is actually his mother. And as we were leading up to that, and she was praying, I was like, oh my gosh, she actually is his mother. I was like, okay, I see where you guys are going. Oh, it was also one other thing that made me, I remember what it was. So it was when she was saying that she used to watch his father at his boxing matches. And in my head, I was like, but hasn't she been like a nun for a while? Because I was just under the impression that she had been a nun. So I thought it was weird that she was going to watch his father's boxing matches. So that also kind of pulled that out in my head, where I was like, where is his mother? But then I kind of was like, no, look, she's not his mother. And I kind of like forgot about it until we got to episode 8. And I was like, okay, wait, she is his mother. So yeah. So I really enjoyed Sister Maggie and just kind of that reaction. And even after he found out that she was his mother, just like his journey to getting to the point. Because even though he was constantly pushing her away, which is like a theme for Matt, like he's pushing Karen away, he's pushing Foggy away, he's pushing all these people away. And even as he's pushing all these people away, they're still like, it's like a magnet is inside his body, and they're still like pulling into him and still trying to support him and still trying to help him. And so yeah, I really enjoyed that part of the story. But yeah, we see Matt struggling with this, especially early on. And then he finds out about Fisk being let out of jail and into the safe house. And then it's like after episode, I want to say 3, it's like, okay, things start ramping up. And that's when I was like, okay, wait a minute, I might be watching all these episodes today. So that's when things kind of ramp up. And we just kind of get to go on that journey of where Matt is so much, even almost pretty much up to the end, where he's like, I'm going to kill Fisk. I should have killed him in the beginning. We would not have been here if I would have killed him. And his whole thing has been like, he doesn't kill people. And even to get all the way up to the end and see kind of like that internal like struggle he had when he was at that moment, like any moment could have just took the life out of Fisk, and then he couldn't do it. And just kind of like that whole journey of that, I appreciate it. I feel like it's hard to just talk about Matt, but I'll talk about everyone else. So let's talk about everyone else. So our villain, we had two villains this season. Fisk is back. And Fisk is a really great example of a really good villain. Because when you have villains, you know, sometimes you have those villains who it's not that they're not believable, but to the point where you don't feel like at any moment that there's not a chance that our hero could win. Like there's not enough at stake where you don't feel confident enough in your hero winning. Fisk has always been one of those villains where you're just like, I don't know if Matt's going to make it out of this one alive, or if anyone's going to make it out of this one alive, because they're just that strong of a character, both in like mentally, but also physically. But then we also get another villain, which also I talked about this in Iron Fist, and this is a theme for Marvel where they create these villains where it's like they're supposed to be the bad person, but then you kind of get their backstory, and so you kind of feel for them. So then your heart and your mind are tugging two different ways, because you're kind of like, oh, I feel kind of bad for them, but like they're a horrible person kind of a thing. So we get this other person, we get Dex, and he is an FBI agent, and because Marvel also does a really great job of just like storytelling and introducing us to these characters, because you're kind of like, why am I following this person around? I don't know why this person is important. And I felt that way about FBI agent Ray, which his last name will come to me in a minute. Ray Nadim. I felt that way about him too, because in the beginning I was like, I don't know why we're following this guy around. Why am I supposed to care about him? But then by the end of it, you're just like, oh my gosh, like heart ripped out. But yeah, so kind of feel that way with Dex, because you're kind of like, okay, what is going on with him? Especially if you don't do a lot of like research before you watch a show, so not reading any articles, not really paying attention while you're watching the trailers, that kind of thing, so you don't really know who is playing who. And then you guys also know, which I didn't make my disclaimer, but like I'm not the comic book expert, I just like the TV shows and movies, so I'm also coming in into this as like a TV show viewer and not a comic book expert. So yeah, so I was like, okay, I don't know why he's important, but clearly he's important because like we're following him around. But so I was like, we get Dex, and then we kind of see, okay, is something clearly wrong with him. And especially as the season goes on, literally, because you guys know, I told you guys how I take notes is I pretty much take notes for each episode. So almost every episode, I was like, Dex is legit crazy. He is super crazy. He needs to be admitted. Why does no one realize that he is crazy? Like, you guys know, I like psychological thrillers or whatever. So I like when people get into your head and you're kind of like trying to figure people out. And that storyline, you're just trying to figure out how he is who he is. And I think that they did this perfectly in the episode where we see his backstory through Fisk eyes. And that was in episode 5, where Fisk has all of Dex's files and like the tapes from when he was a child with his therapist. And you kind of see it told. It's literally all in, happens in the safe house, in Fisk's safe house. But you see, how do you explain it? You see those past scenes kind of embedded into the safe house scene. So like he's playing baseball and he's throwing a ball against the wall, but it still looks like the safe house. I don't know. I just really liked how they did that. And we were able to see how Dex is who he is and what triggers him. And he was really trying. But I will say, because I wrote this as a note, Dex should have been admitted into some type of facility when he was a child. Yeah, he had his therapist, but especially after the therapist died and he was a teenager, so I don't know what his guardianship situation was like, but I feel like there should have been more done as far as just getting him the right kind of help, because it's only so much, as we saw throughout the seasons, only so much replaying tapes is going to do, especially if you have someone trying to manipulate you like Fisk, because Fisk is, he's a psychological kingpin, to not be funny, but like he messes with people's heads and he knows how to find that one thing and he will pretty much change your entire life with that. And it was so sad to watch because Dex really was trying, and I think he, even with the whole Julie thing, and it sucks because like she died literally only because Fisk wanted to turn Dex into this killer person. But yeah, so Dex's whole storyline and seeing his backstory and then actually seeing him in action and like throwing things at people with precise precision was just like, okay, I don't know how Matt is going to win all of this, but we will talk about it when we get to the final episode, because I'm trying to pace this all out, because there are some things I want to talk about before I get to that. And one of them being, so there are two main scenes or sequences, if you will, that happen in this episode or during this season that when I talk about, because you guys know I love me a really good choreographed fight scene. Like, I love it to be on point. One of them was when Dex shows up at the bulletin and pretty much kills everyone to get to the guy who shanked Fisk, who Fisk had pretty much set up to shank him to put his plan. And this just also talks to Fisk's like psychological thing, because he's been in jail for what, 2 years? And this entire time he was pretty much turning the FBI, setting up businesses, like buying property while in jail, and then set up a whole escape plan. It was just like, oh my gosh, because at first when we see that whole basement setup with the woman who's like maintaining the computers, and I was like, how did this happen? And no one knew that this whole situation was happening downstairs. But then as you get further into it, you're like, oh, he turned pretty much the entire FBI. Then it's like, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, a little off topic, but back to what happens at the newsroom. And when that happens, it was just like, oh my gosh, it's like a slaughter fest. And again, all these innocent people dying, all in the name of Fisk's plan, and all because he wanted, because pretty much him getting Matt to the prison, which we're going to talk about in a second, because I know that's what everyone is the most excited about. Him getting Matt to the prison pretty much helps verify for him that Matt is Daredevil, and to pretty much ruin him, he creates who Dex ends up becoming throughout the season, to put on that suit and pretty much kind of, in a way, I feel like this happened during another show. It kind of happened in Iron Fist. Also a little bit, I would say, in Luke Cage, it's some similar themes where like this symbol that the city is holding up is pretty much ripped away from them, because now he looks like something completely different than what he originally was to them. So I was just like, okay, so pretty much did that. But that whole scene, and then seeing Dex fight Matt and being like, because I know we were only at what, episode 6 when we get to the newsroom scene. And at that point, I was just like, I know we're only at episode 6, but I feel like at any moment, Matt could die, or we could have like a Batman situation where like his back is broken or something and he's out of commission for a few episodes. I don't know, but it's not looking all that great for him. Also, it took the FBI forever to get to the newsroom. And I don't know if like the people who had been turned by Fisk were in on what Fisk was trying to do. But I was just like, oh my gosh, it's taking them forever to get there. And literally people are just dying. And it was a massacre. So we have that scene. The other scene that, you know, I know you guys are so excited to talk about is our beloved one-shot scene, which Daredevil is pretty much known for now, for our one-shot hallway scenes, if you will. And season 2, I mean, it was a decent sequence. Season 1 to me has always been like up there, but this prison one shot scene, and it was all in one shot. There were no hidden cuts at all. 11 and a half minutes of pure fight choreo heavenliness was like amazing. I was just sitting there, and I was literally sitting on the edge of my couch like, this is so wonderful. Oh my gosh. Like and I was watching, because even after the first season and kind of going back and listening to When that season came out, listen to how they did that scene. Because I like to, like, listen to or read to or read how kind of the behind the scenes of trying to put do something that meticulous, if you will. So even hearing that, how the season one's hallway scene was done, I was like, okay, I need to know. Because there were some moments where I was like, because in season one, for Charlie Cox, his stunt double, like, they had those rooms. So, like, his double would hide in the room when it would be Charlie fighting, and then Charlie would get thrown into a room, and then his double would be fighting. So, like, kind of hearing that. But this one, I was like, okay, this looks like, I can't tell. There were a couple of moments I was like, okay, this could be where the double came out, because there was a specific amount of time where you don't really see Charlie's face or Matt Murdock's face. So I was like, okay, maybe this is it. And it's when he goes out and he tries to go into the hallway, and he's pretty much like, you know, walk away, like, we're not going to do this. And then it starts. That whole sequence is Charlie Cox. But then we get back into the room, and there's a moment where he gets thrown behind the chair. And I was like, okay, I think this is what, like, I literally was trying to watch to see when a double was going to come out. Cause I was like, okay, I think this is the double, cause we don't see his face for a minute. I can't remember how we end up seeing his face again, but I believe there was some move. But, like, even reading it, and they were talking about how, so that episode 4, which was entitled Blindsided, because he was literally blindsided. That was directed by Alex Garcia Lopez. And he pretty much was like, they had to find ways to kind of hide the crew so that they can literally get it all done in one shot. So they pretty much gave everyone, the crew, the cast, everyone, a day to rehearse this. And then they came back the next day. They did a couple of shots. They were like, you know, okay, whatever. They went, they had lunch. They said they came back and they did the shot after that. And it was so smooth, and, like, everything just flowed. And then after they got it done, they just all celebrated. I was like, whew, it was so good, guys. I really enjoyed that whole sequence. So there's your one shot sequence discussion. But yeah. So one person I also want to talk about, who I haven't really talked about, is Nadim. So he's the FBI agent who we are introduced to. In the beginning, we kind of see, like, his story. We first meet him in his house. And I believe it's his son's birthday, but don't quote me on it. Something's happening at the house, and it's kind of like a party situation. And then we find out from his wife that they're having money issues. And so he's really desperate to get this promotion at work, because that would help solve some of those issues. So it's kind of like, okay, like, why do we need to know about this person? Don't really know. But then we kind of, like, he's key in pretty much exposing, at least as the viewer, for us, exposing this entire plan and how much he's infiltrated the FBI. But you guys, I'm not gonna lie, I struggled a lot with Nadine, because I was like, you cannot be this dumb. You cannot literally see, like, everyone is telling you that Fisk is playing you. Like, he has his whole setup. He's pretty much, yeah, he's in the safe house, but he's in a safe house that he bought with all his stuff back, wearing his suits. Like, you cannot see this. It frustrated me so bad. I even, like I said, when I wrote that Dex needed it was legit crazy multiple times, I wrote that Nadim is freaking blind so many times. And it kind of was like, but are you really blind? Or are you just turning, like, a blind eye because you just want this whole thing to work? And it's like a pride thing, which he even mentions later on in the season. But when we start to get into it, and we kind of see how deep Fisk's hands are embedded into the FBI, it's like, oh my gosh. And then when he starts to kind of work with Daredevil, the real Daredevil, to try to figure out what's going on. And then, like, there are clear signs that Dex is probably the one running around in the Daredevil suit. And at first he's like, oh, I don't know. But then when he gets shot, he's like, okay, no, he is the faux Daredevil. And he goes to talk to Hatley. Because it looks like Hatley, but I think they were saying it like Hatley, whatever. We're just going to say Hatley. He goes to talk to her. And an OPR rep at her house. And that's when, and she also seemed a little suspect because there was a moment in when he went to her and when he first goes to her in her office and he's like, there's a possibility that this can be playing us. And this, I don't know what it was, but it was something that was like, I don't think that I completely trust her. Like those kind of bells were going off in my system. But yeah. So when she asked, when this actually revealed that she is playing in Fist Palm and like she kills the guy and to pretty much blackmail Nadim into working with Fisk, I was like, oh my gosh. And then we find out that Fisk had been targeting him for a year. Like, do you know how not only insane, crazy, psychotic you have to be, but intelligent you have to be to create those in-depth plans that Fisk creates and have them actually work? It's just like, how? How? Like, he targeted him for an entire year and knew that by pulling insurance from his sister-in-law who has cancer and then making him go into debt, that would drive him into wanting to desperately wanting and needing that promotion. It's like, okay, insane. So yeah, we have Nadim. And then finally, I think the straw for him was when we lost Father Lantum. Nadim ends up driving Dex to the church, because now we're at the point where Karen has confronted Fisk in the safe house and pretty much tells him that she's the one who killed his beloved friend. So now he's like, oh, you're dying. But he can't really do it because he has like all the cameras in the safe house. So he's like, you guys need to kill her. Like, she needs to be taken out, her and the real Daredevil. So they go to the church house and Dex ends up, of course, just killing innocent people. And then when he goes to kill Karen, Father Lantum jumps in front of her and then he ends up dying. And I think that was the final straw for Nadim, because it was just like, you pretty much drove him there and like, you're pretty much on the leash for Father Lantum's death. So we kind of see that kind of playing out when the NYPD shows up and we see Maloney, and he's just like, pretty much, it's kind of like he comes in straight from the gate with some sense. And I was so excited because I was just like, I feel like we've been functioning and pretty much watching things go to the crapper because no one seems to have any sense, but he shows up straight out the gate with some sense. So when Nadim makes a deal to let Karen go with the NYPD, then that's when Nadim's like, okay, I can't do this anymore. Like, his conscience kicks in and they try to go do it the right way, because you know, Foggy, we gotta do it the right way. And have Nadim go in front of the grand jury to confess, but then of course, because it's Fisk, that doesn't work. So he pretty much sacrifices himself to get the truth out there about this, as in runs from Matt's protection, goes back home, records a video on his phone for his wife to give to Foggy, and then Dex ends up killing him. So we have that. But what else do I want to say? The final scene. Or the final fight sequence. So this is what I was talking about, Matt. Because I was like, I don't know how Matt is going to win this, because Fisk Even though we haven't really seen Fisk fighting a lot this season, like, we did see him pretty much murder a guy by bashing his head in with his fists. But other than that, we haven't really seen him have to fight. But we know that he can. So I was like, oh my gosh, how is this all going to play out? Because we're at the finale. He's marries Vanessa, who Vanessa we haven't seen pretty much the entire season. We've heard that she's off somewhere in hiding, but we haven't physically seen her until pretty much, I believe it was episode 12. So the second to last episode, we finally see Vanessa. And Vanessa, she's been so lonely that she's like, listen, I don't know what's going on in your world, and I need to be a part of what's happening in your world. And he pretty much gives her full reins, and she's out here making, like, boss decisions. So, yeah. So, we get to this final sequence where Matt finally is able to get through to Dex. And he's like, oh, you thought Fisk had your back? And I think Dex kind of was realizing a little bit, like, he's going to need to do extra because, you know, he's looking for his North Star because that's what his therapist says he needs. But I think that, which was why he was, like, going above and beyond doing ridiculously stupid stuff, like killing the lady who had the photo and just inserting himself in places that he should not have been. And so Matt's able to finally get to him and he's like, listen, you thought this because you're North Star. Like, yeah, he's good at manipulating people. He's the one who killed Julie. And when he found Julie in that freezer, it's like complete change. And he went, first of all, he goes to the wedding, drives up with Julie's frozen body in the passenger seat. Oh my gosh. You guys, crazy. I say it. He is crazy on another level. So I was like, okay, so then this is just me watching and thinking, like, okay, Matt is going to use Dex to kill Fisk for him, since Matt, you know, is most likely not going to kill him himself. But then we get in there and it's like Matt is now fighting two people. He's fighting Dex and he's fighting Fisk, and then Fisk is trying to come for Matt but also trying to get to Dex. And it's just like, okay, who's fighting who? And, like, what is the end goal? So, for me, that whole last fight sequence, while it had a lot of good moments, I was just like, okay, what is actually really going on? What was the purpose of getting Dex there? Was it just to get him down and then try to, like, capture him? But even still, what if he didn't get down and he escaped? So, I wasn't quite clear on exactly what Matt's purpose was it just to get him mad at Fisk so that he wouldn't have to then deal with both Fisk and Dex coming at him, like, solely? Because while Dex was there, he wasn't really coming for Matt. He was trying to kill young Vanessa. He was trying to murder her or murder Fisk. He wasn't really trying to come for Matt, even though Matt was trying to stop him. So I was really unclear on that. And then we had him also, like, it's resolved through pretty much a conversation. Like, there are some fists thrown, and there's a lot of blood. Fisk breaks Dex's back, so he's out of commission. And I told y'all about that moment when Matt was literally, he's like, almost there. He's about to kill him, but then he couldn't. So then he was pretty much like, okay, well, you know my true identity. If you tell anyone my true identity, then I'm going to make sure that the whole world knows, or not the whole world, but the people who need to know, knows that Vanessa was the one who gave the go for Nadim to be murdered. So pretty much blackmails Fisk into pretty much surrendering and going back to jail. So that's kind of how it's resolved. And then we kind of get our, like, kind of happy ending, at least for Matt, Karen, and Foggy, because they're all back together and they all decide to go back into business together, and they are going to pretty much do their own thing again. But now Karen's going to get her name in the title. We also see Matt pretty much make up with his mom. So that's kind of how we leave things. But then we also see some work being done on Dex, and he is being worked on by pretty much he's going to become Bullseye. So that's the character in the comics that Dex is. And we see him being worked on by someone in the comics who is named Dr. Oyama. So we see him operating on him. And so Dex pretty much gets, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I told you guys, not the comic book expert, but I will do some research. So through research, this is what I found out. So if that's wrong, then it's not my fault. But yeah, so Dex pretty much gets in. Indestructible back made of cadmium steel reinforcing framework. So, indestructible, that sounds like he already seemed unstoppable, but that sounds even more unstoppable. So, yeah. I mean, overall, for the most part, I enjoyed the entire season. I think what I want to transition into, because you guys know I don't rate TV shows, but I did enjoy the season. I would not be opposed to a season 4 if it's like a short season 4. Like, I can do a 10 episode season 4. But yeah. But in general, I haven't done this before. But you guys know I love me some IMDb. So you can on IMDb rate individual episodes. And I was like, I wonder which episodes were the top rated. So no surprise, and these were each rating. So I checked this literally the day before I'm recording this. So each episode had about 1,100 to 1,400 ratings, or like people who rate it. So number one, no surprise, was Blindsided with 9.8 out of 10. Number two was The Devil You Know with 9.8, which I guess was still number one. So tied for number one. So The Devil You Know, 9.8. And then number three, A New Napkin, which was our finale, which I was actually surprised that it was 9.7. And then there were a few that were tied for 9.6, but I didn't write those ones down. So I thought it was interesting that those were the top three rated episodes of the season, which it's pretty much on par with the episodes that I really enjoyed. Blindsided, we get our one-shot prison scene. The Devil You Know is when we get the massacre at the Bulletin. And then A New Napkin pretty much is like the finale. We see the showdown between Matt, Fisk, and Dex. So, I mean, I'm okay with that. What else? We got an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-in. So this happened when, I believe, because I completely missed this, I didn't even see this, but apparently there was an article that referenced to something that happened during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I believe this was a scene that happened while they were in the newsroom. So there was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-in. But yeah, as far as anything else I need to say, I don't think so. Because I talked about the Marvel and Netflix partnership already. So that's pretty much all I have to say. Again, I really enjoyed this season. This made me excited about Daredevil again, because like I said, season 2, I kind of was like, oh, okay. And then Defenders is like, okay. But season 3 really made me excited about Daredevil again. So I'm excited to see hopefully where we go in the future, just based off of whether that's on Netflix or if it's on Disney's new streaming service. Not sure. But I am still excited, and yeah, now all we have to look forward to now is one, news on if Daredevil is going to be renewed. I'm sorry, I just cannot see them canceling Daredevil, because it's just like, it's Daredevil. But anyway, so still waiting on news on that. And then also the next thing we have coming, at least from Marvel/Netflix, is Jessica Jones. So yeah. That's all I have, you guys. Let me know what you guys thought of season 3 of Daredevil. I want to know every single thing that you loved about it and every single thing that you hated about it. As always, you can find me on all social media at InHerGlam, InHerGlam, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode.